Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're talking about learning how to encourage yourself in the Lord. For several weeks, we've been looking at the generation of Israel that God brought out of bondage in Egypt. His goal was to bring them into the blessings of the promised land, but they refused God's will for them. They refused to enter in, and we're told that they were actually hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, and we are warned not to make the same mistakes they made. So we've been looking at them for several weeks to try to determine what they did from the scripture so that we don't make the same mistakes they made. And we have found that their downward spiral into unbelief, which cost them the promised land, began with complaining. For several weeks, we've looked at how they should have developed a habit of being grateful to combat the habit of complaining. But we also learned that Israel forgot God and his works. To forget God and his works to the Hebrew mind meant more than just, I misplaced my car keys. Now, I know that Hebrews didn't have cars back then, but in other words, it wasn't just an inadvertent act where I misplaced something. No, it had an element of forgetting God was actually a willful act of unlearning, whereby rebellious men rejected what they knew about God. When it says they forgot God, there was an element of willfulness in rejecting what they knew about God. The antidote for that is learning how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Jesus said in John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." To be of good cheer, that word cheer, to be of good cheer comes from a Greek word that means to have courage or to be confident. To be of good courage or confidence is actually another way of saying encourage yourself in the Lord. To encourage means to give courage, hope, or confidence. You need to learn how to give yourself courage, hope, and confidence by looking at the Lord and his word. And that's what we're going to focus on this week. Now, when we look at Israel's story, we find that one of the things they failed to do, which contributed to them rejecting the promised land, was they failed to encourage themselves in the Lord. They failed to give themselves courage, hope, and confidence through remembering the Lord and his works. In Numbers chapter 13, at the edge of the promised land, 12 spies were selected who went in and checked out the land. They came back after 40 days' journey into the promised land with their report. All 12 spies agreed that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And all of them agreed that there were obstacles in the land, walled cities, giants, warlike tribes. But 10 of the spies said, "We cannot take this land. The obstacles are too great. We look like grasshoppers compared to these people, and we'll be destroyed." And as you know, all of Israel sided in with them and refused to enter in. Now, the first chapter of Deuteronomy gives us additional information as to what happened at the edge of the land. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21, we're told that at the edge of the land, before the spies ever went in to check it out, God told the people through Moses, "Fear not, don't be discouraged." To be discouraged means to be dismayed or scared. "Fear not, don't be discouraged, dismayed, or scared. I've given you this land." Now, that meant that they were going to see things in the land that could potentially scare them and dismay them. God warned them before they ever went in, "You're going to see things that are going to stimulate some rather unpleasant emotions in you, but fear not, I have given you the land." But Israel did not listen to God. Because that's exactly how they reacted to the report of the 10 spies. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, after the 10 spies had given their report, their evil report of the land, it says, then the whole Israelite community cried out in dismay. All night long they wept. They murmured in their tents, saying, the Lord brought us out of Egypt to destroy us. Let's go back to Egypt. Now, I'm back here in Deuteronomy chapter 1 again, and we get more insight into what went on in that scene where the 10 spies gave their report, and Israel, based on the report, refused to enter the promised land. Verse 28 says, now this is out of the Living Bible, when the 10 spies gave their report, it's too much, too big, we can't do it, we'll die. Here's how Israel responded. What are we getting into? Our brothers who spied out the land have frightened us with their report. Now, the King James says it this way, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we, the cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover we have seen the sons of Anakim, of the Anakims there. The King James word translated discourage here is from a root word that means to liquefy. Some translations say it this way, our brethren, the 10 spies, have made our hearts melt, saying, that's Rotherham's translation. Another translation says they've made us lose heart by saying. In other words, whatever the spies said to them caused their hearts to melt with fear. Now, in verses 29 through 31, Moses tried to encourage Israel, tried to give them courage, hope, and confidence by reminding them that God was with them and for them. Let me read verse 29. Then I, Moses, said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came unto this place. Moses reminded them, don't be afraid. The Lord is your leader. He'll fight for you with all his mighty miracles, just like you saw him do in Egypt. And you know how he cared for you again and again here in the wilderness. Now, Joshua and Caleb also tried to encourage the people. See, get the picture. Here's all of Israel. They've heard the 10 spies say the land is too much. It's going to kill us if we go in. That caused their hearts to melt. That caused them to be discouraged and dismayed. Well, Moses tried to encourage them by saying, remember what God did for us in Egypt. Remember how he's cared for us along the way from the promised land through the from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. Joshua and Caleb tried to encourage them as well. In Caleb, he said to them, this is Numbers 13:30, when all the discussion's going on at the edge of the promised land, and now, to still the rising outcry against Moses, Caleb spurred the people on to invade the land and conquer it. It is ready to fall into your hands. Then in Numbers 14, verse 9, Joshua said, don't rebel against the Lord. There's no need to fear the people of the land. We shall gobble them up. Their defense is a vanishing shadow, for the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But then, back in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 32, Moses commented, yet in this you did not believe the Lord your God. The Living Bible says, but nothing I said did any good. They didn't receive encouragement from Moses. They didn't receive encouragement. See, what does encourage mean? To encourage means to give courage, hope, or confidence. That's what Joshua, Caleb, and Moses tried to do. They tried to give courage, hope, and confidence to Israel by reminding them of what God had already done for them, that they had seen with their own eyes, but they wouldn't take that encouragement. They didn't add their voices to Moses, Joshua, or Caleb. Instead, Israel had an emotional reaction to what they heard from the spies. Now, that in and of itself is not wrong. When what we see is formidable or challenging, it does produce an emotional reaction in us. That is normal. Emotions are the natural reaction of our soul to what is going on around us. They are involuntary. In other words, you cannot will yourself to either feel emotions or will yourself to stop feeling emotions. If we experience loss, we will feel pain. If we face danger, we will feel fear. If people disappoint us, we will feel hurt and anger. Emotions, feelings are not wrong. They are natural. But they can and often do give us incorrect or incomplete information. I mean, have you ever had a day dominated by your emotions, what you felt, and then at the end of the day, it turned out what you felt was wrong? You know, maybe your spouse or your coworker, let's take a coworker, looked at you funny today, and you just felt that they were upset with you about something. And you were just really perplexed, and you became more and more upset and disturbed as the day went on. I've done nothing. How can they be mad at me? But with the way they looked at me, I mean, I just feel it. I just know there's something wrong. And finally, at the end of the day, you can't stand it anymore, and you want to have it out with them. So you go up to them and say, "Why are you upset with me? I know you're mad at me. I just feel it. What's going on?" And they look at you like you got two heads and say, "What do you mean? I'm not mad at you." And you say to them, "Well, you looked funny this morning. You looked at me funny." And they say to you, "Hey, I had gas. I had an upset stomach." Your whole day was ruined by incorrect information from your emotions. And then on top of that, emotions, if they're left unchecked, they can drive us to sin. They can drive us to act in ways that are contrary to the Word of God. Now, you cannot always stop feelings from rising up, but you can keep them from determining how you act in the situation. Our lives are supposed to be dominated and governed by the Word of God, not by what you feel. What you see can discourage you if it looks overwhelming, but it's not just what you see, it's how you see what you see. Your emotions are largely the result of how you think about what you see. If you think the obstacle coming against you is greater than the resources at your side, then you're going to feel fear. We have to learn how to encourage ourselves, give ourselves hope, courage, and confidence from the Word of God to withstand the onslaught of emotions in difficult circumstances. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy. Let's face it. Everyone is busy these days, and when it comes to God's Word, there's a lot to learn. Diane can help you maximize your study time. For starters, you can order this week's lesson on tape or CD, or join Diane every Friday night for a live, in-depth teaching right here in St. Louis, Missouri, with worship provided by Mercy's Child. We meet at 7:30 p.m. each Friday at 4720 Jameson, right in the heart of beautiful St. Louis Hills. You'll be in the company of believers with like faith and passions. And we hope to see you this Friday. Send this teaching forth by partnering with us. Monthly partners help pay for radio time and receive our best teaching. Diane provides a website with MP3 audio, downloadable study guides, and much more. Visit www.richesinchrist.com. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-888-739-6619. That's toll-free 1-888-739-6619.